B-Pod Studios.
They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hour here on Zolak and Bertrand, 617-779-0985. Ron is calling us from Texas today on Kyler Murray.
Hi, Ron.
What's up, Ron?
What's up, guys? How are we doing today?
Good.
Good.
So my thing is, it's kind of more of a question with you, though. So I always thought that Bill Belichick always liked to draft more of a size guy because of the fact that, let's face it, in New England, we're only playing maybe half the game in decent weather. So when I get somebody like Kyler Murray, you think of a small guy, small hands.
Yep.
You know, small throwing feet, a ball in the snow and in the water and stuff like that. I mean, I know he used to do that drill with Brady, you know, with dipping the balls in buckets of water and having him throw it. So I look at Kyler Murray like he doesn't just fit the mold in New England. Like, look at Patrick Mahomes in the bad weather situation. I just don't think that guys like that, I mean, they're arena ball players. I just can't see him playing up in New England.
Ron, what's Patrick Mahomes' issue in the weather?
Well, I don't know. I guess I had that philosophy, and maybe because, the outcome turned out the way I thought. But he did put up a second half in Kansas City. But my only thing was, players like that, like your Deshaun Watsons and guys like that, they're great indoors. They're great in ideal conditions. The guys that play in the South, he's from Texas and stuff like that. Like, what are they going to do when the crunch time comes in the end of December and the early January phase when you're going to have 20-degree weather, you're going to have rain and bad conditions and stuff like that? And I just look at that, like, some of those traits that separate him from the other quarterbacks kind of take a back seat to standing in the pocket, tall, and delivering the ball in the middle of the field. And that's I just can't see that with Kyler. That's it.
I mean, they're going to have to measure the hands. You know, that's going to be a big thing at the combine. He could be a little guy with big hands. He's going to have to throw the ball well in his workouts. Whoever goes to work him out, you're going to have the NFL ball, a little tiny bit different than the collegiate ball. I'd make sure that the balls aren't too worked. You know, kind of open them out of the package, kind of what you get on game day. Throw a couple slippery ones in there. See how he does handle it. See if he air mails a couple of those throws against air. And if that's an issue, then that'll play to the negative part of why you won't look into bringing him in. So there's a lot of things you can do in those workouts. So not just sit here and say, well, we don't know the hand size. You don't worry about the weather. Just get there and just face-to-face with the kid and see what he can do.
Mike is in the truck. What's up, Mike?
Yeah, I just wanted to mention real quick that batted ball stat. The only reason why that even holds up is because the shorter quarterbacks are always thinking about the ball being batted because they're short, so they're throwing it over everybody. Wow. They're thinking about it on every throw. So,
which batted ball stat are you referring to?
The one less batted balls more than the other quarterbacks.
Not the last 10 years stat. He hung up. Not the last 10 years stat. 4,647 starts versus 362. That's why.
There's another batted ball stat being thrown around today by Sam Munson of Pro Football Focus.
What's he got?
Another turd.
Munson.
Another turd.
The Brady hater.
Yeah,
the guy who thinks Brady blows. What's he got?
What's this turd say?
Kyler Murray had 5 batted passes last season. Daniel Jones, who's another top quarterback, 6'5", had 12.
Yeah.
Drew Lock, 6'4", had 8. Will Greer, 6'1", had 1. Dwayne Haskins, 6'3", had 5. Joe Flacco led the NFL in batted pass rate last season at 6'6".
And he throws like 3/4.
That's because he sucks.
What do you want me to do?
When does that start? When does that start to factor?
So it's not just the draft guys that are. It's not just the draft guys defending the whole batted pass thing and the size thing. It's all everyone is defending the size thing.
Couldn't this also just be? Yeah, everybody's jumping on this train. Couldn't it just be that Kyler Murray's a better quarterback than some of those other guys mentioned?
Maybe anticipates better. Maybe sees things better.
Like, you know.
Maybe those guys hang on to the ball.
How tall is Joe Flacco? 6'6", right? He's big boy.
Here's another thing, too.
He's 6'6"?
Here's another thing.
Yeah.
6'6". All right, so Brady's shorter than him at 6'5".
What are the benefits
And if Brady had fewer batted balls, you think that might have to do with the fact that he just doesn't suck like Joe Flacco?
Well, one of the benefits about being a younger guy is you don't have the big workout.
Even though he's shorter, he's a better quarterback. Does that at all factor in?
If you're playing against a quarterback, it's got that big, deliberate windup where you could judge the windup. You could time a jump to go up and deflect the ball. Plus, if you're not getting there as a pass rush, you're taught to jump and deflect the football. So we'll see.
So, but this is one of the things that this all this these analytical guys are coming out now. This is going to be a huge analytics draft. They're just predicting.
Yeah.
I heard the other day that these teams are going to be looking at players. Now they have these next-gen stats and say, okay, this guy goes this fast in this amount of space, goes this fast in this amount of space. He can lift this much weight. So they're going to equate those guys to current NFL players, and you're going to see some Moneyball weird-type picks in the draft this year where guys are just strictly going analytics. Zoe didn't hear a word I said because he's listening to the internet and the phones.
Saying? You said something about analytics, and he's back here.
The short quarterbacks in this league that have ever had success are Breeze, Vic, Russell Wilson. Do we put Flutie on the list?
Yeah.
Is Flutie on the list?
Okay. Yeah. 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 He had success.
I'm looking back at some of the shorter all-time quarterbacks under 6 feet, like Sonny Jurgensen.
Oh,
we got to go back that far.
No.
He was 5'11", though, which is 2 inches taller than what Kyler Murray is. He's been listed at 5'10 and 5'11". The truth is somewhere around 5'9". Fran Tarkenton was only 6 feet tall, same as Drew Brees. Like, okay, that's how far you're going back to find the 6 feet and under crew?
The problem is with Sonny Jurgensen, he was 5'11", but that was 2 inches taller than the average American male height back when he was playing.
And Fran Tarkenton was 6 feet.
People are getting taller as
like Fran Tarkenton, 6 feet. Yeah, 6 feet, same as Drew Brees. That's still a 3-inch difference between those two guys. That's not a that's significant. That's an important 3 inches.
No.
It's your workday made tolerable.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, why not? Zolak
and Bertrand.
Buckle your chin strap.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Kevin Lemanowitz of Boston 25 News can be checking in with us momentarily. 617-779-0985. In the meantime, your calls. Alex and Attleboro and Kyler Murray. Go ahead, Alex.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Hey.
Hey, I just wanted to touch on the fact, like, Kyler Murray's height and athleticism. I just think that I do think, you know, a guy like him wouldn't survive in the NFL, say, 20 years ago. But I think that the league is changing. You know, they're better protecting the quarterbacks. A guy like him could be wildly successful in this league. I think, you know, he's only, you know, he's an inch shorter than, say, Drew Brees. But, you know, if this guy runs the 40, I think he's going to be a top 8 pick in the NFL draft.
Well, that seems strong. A lot of teams up at the top of the draft don't need a quarterback.
So. Yeah, it's not like you had 3 jockeying for the top 4 picks last year.
Yeah, it's a little different this time around. Yeah, and if the Cardinals want him, they can drop back and get him somewhere in that top 10. So maybe he ends up being there. But that's basically you think the Cardinals will want him is what that take is.
Yeah.
Not that there will be a bunch of teams in the top 8 that want him. And maybe that's what he meant by that. Let's go to the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Not a sports expert, but a weather expert. Boston 25 News Chief Meteorologist Kevin Lemanowitz with us. Kevin, is everybody panicking over the storm? It seems that way.
Did you get your milk?
Guys, it's Jason Brewer. Kevin's going to be in later. But I'm here in the middle of the day keeping track of things for Kev.
So you're the real worker behind
the scenes. Our apologies. Right. We did not realize that.
Yeah.
No worries. Yeah, no, Kevin's going to be on at 5. I'm here kind of holding down the fort, watching the snow arrive right now. If you're looking out your window, you might not be seeing anything yet, but I'm getting reports of the heavy snow setting in across Worcester County right now. It's kind of set up here right along 495, just about to touch up against 128 here. So an ill-timed snow event today. Not a blockbuster storm, but, you know, the evening drive's going to be messy.
Yeah, Zoe just looked out the windows here in our Dorchester studios, and it's dry. There's not a single drop. No,
and that's,
not
you know,
a single
foot. When do we lose our way in New England?
It's kind of interesting because, you know, Kevin and I saw the Worcester schools close down yesterday.
Right.
Like, they just pulled the plug fast. And, yeah, I don't know if it used to be like this, right?
No,
I
mean, it did not. Definitely did not.
But there are more cars on the road now. You know, Marty Walsh was speaking a minute ago on our air. There's more people working here now. It just gets congested, you know. So there's that argument to be made that, you know, hey, we gotta stay on top of this. Keep people safe. It is cold enough. I mean, the roads are going to get slick really fast that haven't been treated. So it's going to be coming down pretty fast and furious. We're looking at an inch an hour. So from 3 to about 7 or 8 o'clock, we're looking at, you know, steady accumulation out there on the roads. So
this one doesn't bother me either, because we were talking, like, it was a few years ago. There was the big late-hitting storm one day, and people trying to leave the city got caught up in it. Kids were left at school. Kids were left at after-school programs. Kids were at team practices, and the parents couldn't get there for hours. So I'd rather have them be on top of it by an hour or so. Canceling school out Worcester seems like a bit much.
Extreme.
But for, like, you know, my kids today to have an hour early release, I'm okay with that. I get it. I'm just glad they didn't cancel everything, though. It just seems like they're being a little cautious with this one.
For sure cautious. You know, my kids were excited just to have that extra hour. I hear you on that. You know, just it is going to be coming out. You know, reduce visibility. You know, the temperatures are going to warm up overnight. So remember last time we had a couple of inches of snow, and then it was the freezing rain, and everything froze solid
the next day.
Yeah, it was awful.
And it was that Arctic, deep Arctic air, so not the same. I mean, tomorrow we're going to get to the 40s tomorrow and be able to clean everything up. It's going to start to wash away on the South Shore and the Cape overnight tonight, but then we'll be able to shovel things away pretty good tomorrow as temperatures warm up a little bit.
Is this like game day for you guys, for you people? You weather people, like, you get up and, like, you know, start the little flex, little stretch.
Yeah.
Showtime,
yeah.
Baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, you love weather. You watch it. You track it. It is exciting. You know, we want everybody to stay safe, but it is kind of what gets the juices flowing. And, you know, it's been such a quiet winter that, hey, 4 to 6 inches of snow sounds kind of exciting for a change.
All right. So do we get to use the blowers on this one? Because last time it was a little too thick.
Yeah, blowers weren't all that useful.
A little thick and slushy where I was. Be able to use the blowers tonight, or are we going to be shoveling slush tomorrow morning?
Slush. Oh, I mean, you're yeah, around Boston. I mean,
sucks. I want to hang up on you now.
I know. I don't even deserve. I'm out. You're not. I'm not. I'll never get another chance. I don't get to call again. I just got bad news all the way around. Just nasty.
When do we get the next humdinger? I'm talking like humdinger. A biggie.
Yeah.
16-incher.
Yeah. Can you tell us when the next humdinger is coming, please, for Zoe?
I mean, 2014 and 15 around here, those were hell winters. It was just like,
I don't
one
want
after
that.
Another. Yeah,
I don't
we
care
do.
If it never snows another.
If it's
going
to snow, I want it to snow. I don't want like this.
Yeah. How do you feel about the news people that go out there on the side of the highway?
Yeah, like Steve Cooper from Channel 7.
They pick up the snow and they grasp it in their hands. Yeah. Like, oh, look, it's snow.
He's out there with his yardstick.
It's accumulating. It's snow.
Oh, here I am at Home Depot. I have my salt and my shovel.
Guess what they're selling? Shovels and salt today. How about that?
I saw them front row at the Stop and Shop this morning. I walked in. They were up there getting ready to move this stuff. You know, I mean, the snow shovel companies are hurting this year. They're like, we haven't sold anything, but it's something to be careful for this afternoon. And, you know, if you're out, I would say exactly that. I mean, no reason to do much cleanup tonight, because if you live Boston southward, you just wait till the morning, and, you know, it's just going to be a slushy mess. It's going to be melting away enough tomorrow to where you can get it out of the way. You know, yeah,
excellent.
Someone just said on Twitter that you sound like Brad Stevens. Have you ever been told that before?
No, but I'll listen in on his press conference as soon as I get a chance.
A little bit, Brad Stevens.
Hey, Jason, so who gets the worst of this in this storm?
So, listen, we've got 6 to 9 north and west of 128. So, Woburn back to, you know, Route 2 up to Nashua, these areas. And in the morning, there could be some leftover freezing rain there. So, people coming in to Boston in the morning that live, you know, north and west of 128 want to be extra careful on anything of untreated side roads and that kind of thing. But if you're down, you know, the South Shore, looking at 2 to 4, we're probably right around 4 inches in Boston before the changeover. What we have been wrestling with is when the sleet starts mixing in. Somewhere between 7 and 10 o'clock, that's going to start happening. And, you know, if it's 2 hours later, then you got a couple of extra inches of snow on top of that. So, you know, these are the weatherman problems that we have to wrestle with for the evening.
All right, get the blower out at 5.
All right, get it out. Jason Brewer, WFXT, Boston 25 News. Appreciate it. Thanks for checking in.
See you, Jason.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Jason. All right, take it easy. That's not Kevin Lemanowitz.
Jason Brewer.
He must be calling from the office there because it comes up as Kevin Lemanowitz on the. We have him stored as Kevin Lemanowitz in our system.
It's 6 to 9 inches. What's that?
Well, maybe this is like someone looking for their big break, and he's like
Lemanowitz, didn't it?
Maybe locked him in the box.
Maybe tied up Lemanowitz and shoved him in a closet.
Said it's showtime.
I'm going to be Johnny Weather for the whole day.
I'm on a number one midday rated show.
Has anyone seen Kevin? Damn it, get him in here. Put me in, Coach. I'm ready. I got this sumbitch nailed down.
You heard the Stevens thing? He knew we did the Brad Stevens interview, too, so he's well-versed in our show.
He said, I'm going to listen to his next press conference.
Yeah, he said, I'm going to listen to his next interview with you guys.
No, he said press conference.
He said press conference.
All right, trying to play him up.
Well, he's a nice guy. It's not his fault this storm's going to suck.
My fault he's there grinding. Lemanowitz is just going to show up and throw his tie on.
Oh, that slush tomorrow morning.
See, Lemanowitz knows it, too. He's like... I'm not going in early.
I'm going in noontime. I'm two to four inches.
Prime time. Name in the storm.
Maya.
Ralph in Linfield. Hi, Ralph.
Hey, Ralph.
Hey, let's stick on Brad Stevens.
Okay.
I got a question for Zoe. What qualities distinguish a good coach from a great coach? Can Brad Stevens guide and inspire and empower an athlete of that level or team to achieve their fullest potential? Now, the Celtics are complaining about not having anything to cheer about. Well, let's think about that. Game plan. They don't have one. And coaches are making adjustments on Brad Stevens. And how many quarters have we given up 40-plus points a game? I mean, we got to bring back Red Arb back. If he was here, he would have went in the first time they gave up 40 points and fired some people. I want to hear your comments. I'm going to hang up, but this has been bothering me.
Well, your first question right there. It's your ability to adjust in game. That's what separates great coaches from good ones. Look at the Super Bowl. Look at the stuff. The inability of McVay to adjust and adapt to the blitz. What do we get out of Stevens? When the team doesn't really have the talent, you go back to Isaiah Thomas, you go back to last year, he's pretty good at drawing up some stuff where you're an undermanned team. And we kept asking him that same question. I remember at the beginning of the year, Coach, do you have too much talent? He said, it's a good question. Like, yeah, you love the talent, but at times it is tough getting all that talent on the floor at the same time and getting that right mix. He has not found that right mix. And it complicates things with Gordon Hayward being in there, you know, sort of the forced minutes. It's going to be interesting to see when Kyrie's back and healthy, you know, how they really handle this thing to get it back on track. See what type of team they are post All-Star break.
Making your job suck just a little bit less.
This helps my emotion.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Takeaways coming up at today's takeaways at 1:50. I'm going to assume that one of those is the call from December 20th.
That freak.
We had a caller earlier who called in wanted an apology from us.
I called in the...
It's the call and then you mocking him after his call.
I called in the fourth hour on December 20th and I want credit for it.
I found it. He wanted an apology. We're not giving him an apology.
No.
All right, so
this will be better than an apology. You will hear us sound like complete idiots and you will sound like a genius.
So we'll have his call from earlier today.
Yeah.
And then we'll have his original call, him mocking him for the call.
Yes.
And then we will live mock him again for calling about his original call.
Bingo.
Okay.
Bingo.
Got it.
Among other items coming up in the takeaways today.
Right down the
Andrew's
border.
In the car. He has a call on the 2019 Red Sox. What do you got, Andrew?
What's up, boys? How we doing today?
Hey, I like your energy.
Woo! Yeah, spring training, baby. Pitches and catches are down there. I love it. Listen,
exciting.
108 wins for the Red Sox last year.
Hello? Andrew?
Good call.
Andrew, you're going on hold. Yeah. We're going to get you in a better spot. Oh, he's just getting going, too. Oh, man. See if we can pick him up. Make sure we get him to a better spot. We'll put him right back on. Mike is in Worcester. Mike.
Hey, guys. What's going on
today? Hey, Mike.
What's up?
Getting ready for some plowing. Hey, I got a couple questions. Two-part question. How come the Pats never play on Thanksgiving Day? And secondly, why don't they ever use the throwback uniforms at all, even though other teams do it? I'll hang up and let you guys talk about it.
All right, now, why they don't play on Thanksgiving? I think they do. They play on Thanksgiving.
We were worried about playing this past year because at Detroit, you know, sort of sitting there to become one of those games. You're not going to be part of the London game, so you figured, oh, that's a game that's going to be easy for us to be putting that Detroit marquee matchup on Thanksgiving. You either have to have Dallas or Detroit on your schedule, or you're in the the late game.
Yeah.
They played in the late game before.
They've played on Thanksgiving 5 times in their history.
Jets. I remember the Jet game we did in the Meadowlands.
You got to remember, there's only 2 teams a year before they added the Thanksgiving night game. There were only 2 teams a year that were not the built-in teams.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So
butt fumble was Thanksgiving, wasn't
Brady
it?
Brady played on Thanksgiving in 2002. It was a Patriots win. They played on Thanksgiving 2010. A Patriots win. They played on Thanksgiving in 2012 when they had the butt fumble game. Yep. So Tom Brady's played on Thanksgiving 3 times in his career. That's a decent amount.
Yeah.
So few teams play on Thanksgiving. Question number two. Uniforms. That's throwbacks.
Easy. Helmet.
Helmet's an issue for the red or white throwbacks going back to the old Pat Patriot because you can only have one shell per season now. We've been over this, which is the silver helmet. You are allowed to swap out the decals on your helmet. I would say you could put that old decal on the new helmet. It would look sort of different and silly if you want to say that. But this does not stop the Patriots from wearing their 90s uniforms with the flying Elvises on the shoulders, as I have been pushing for a couple of years now.
I was down.
I've taken my case to the league on this. I have literally talked to one.
I was anti this until last week being
Ty Law. And when they have a halftime ceremony to honor Ty Law at some point next season at home, how fitting would it be, Zoe, if they chose that particular day or night to wear those uniforms as a tribute to that era in Patriots history and to Ty Law, who by that time will have been inducted in Canton.
Yeah, down in Florida last week. And
you're welcome, Patriots. Take the idea. Yeah. Run with it. You will sell 4 million of those jerseys with current players' names on them.
I sent you guys the picture of the one I found down in Florida at my mom and dad's house of the old blue one. And it's pretty sweet. It still is. I'm not a fan of them going to it because I think they'll look silly in it. But it was an interesting jersey. It was. The double stitch, the triple stitch. Pretty good stuff. Good quality back then.
Do you want me to email the owner right now? Just put another bug in the ear about this? About Ty Law? I could do that. We can do that.
Do that on your own time. Yeah.
I'm going to do it.
Yeah, but I think, hey.
Let him know.
You got to put the money angle in there, too.
He knows the idea. He knows the idea. I told him there's a lot of money to be made here. A lot of money. Lots of money to be made. Look at that jersey.
Ty's biggest
pick
six.
It is so strange with those soccer-like stripes.
That stupid thing on our
shoulders. I mean, what a weird... That jersey could have only existed in the 90s. That is the only time that jersey would have been acceptable.
Look at Bledsoe's sweet Mario Francois Jabro jeans, the acid wash ones. Those are sweet. Buttonfly. Those are fancy.
What a jersey.
Maz wears those now.
Oh, need that. Need that just for a game. Just one game. One
place
game.
Will go nuts.
Oh, those jerseys. Yeah. Those are fun jerseys.
Shiny silver pants.
Now, again, you would swap out the decals on the helmets to the different color blue because they changed the Patriots logo in 2000. When they went to the new uniforms, they went to a darker blue. You swap out the logo for the lighter blue Patriot logo.
I like the look on Zoe's face in that photo. It's kind of like a perplexed disgust.
It's
like
a pass?
It's like, what do we even care? Look at the scoreboard. It's not like we can win.
Throw another hit.
Yeah, just who cares?
Andrew's back. Andrew on the Red Sox. Sorry about that. Go ahead.
Hey, no, I'm sorry about that, boys. I was driving. So listen, 108 wins last year. Yeah. Impressive. Not denying that.
They're going to need to do it again this year, and I think they might even need more. Yankees were a 100-win team last year. The Rays surprised us all by being a 90-win team. I think the AL East is going to be a very tight race. Two other things, pitchers. I'm expecting David Price, Chris Sale, and Nathan Eovaldi all to have great years. And with Mookie Betts moving into the number two hole, I want to see how his production turns out as he enters into a contract year. Have a good one, boys.
Okay.
Okay.
American League East, he thinks will be tough again. I got news for you. I was seeing today, I think it's absolutely absurd that Manny Machado and Bryce Harper are not signed.
Yeah.
I think it's...
Look how late guys signed last year, though.
Disgraceful for baseball.
Yeah.
That they're in this spot. Justin Verlander actually tweeted out some comments on this and how upset he is by it. And he's right. He's pissed off, yeah, and he thinks the system is broken, and he's not wrong to say so. However, right now, the odds... From Bet Online, the odds of who Manny Machado will sign with for this coming season, the Yankees are the overwhelming favorite at 1-2, followed by the Padres at 4-1, the White Sox at 5-1, the Phillies at 5-1. They have an overwhelming favorite in the New York Yankees where he will likely land, and that makes the Yankees better. That's another bat in their lineup. An already potent lineup will only get better.
Picture came out of spring training down there. Jim's with me on this. I think Benintendi looks a little thick.
He looks big.
A little like the Adam's apple's gone. Like you can see his Adam's apple like really cut up last year. I don't think he's as cut up. Jim,
are you trying to say he's fat?
He looks a little. He's retaining.
He doesn't
a little
look
water.
Like he's in the best shape of his life. Like everybody else comes into camp at.
I mean, granted, he's getting
either
older.
Really
too.
Yoked or he's fat.
He enjoyed the off season.
He got a haircut.
The old game, jacked. Or fat. Can't really tell
he's
from
not,
that
no,
one photo.
No, I'm not going to call him fat. He's not fat. Obviously, he's not fat. He's thick. He's thick. He's not a big kid to begin with, you know?
He's not cut up.
Thank you.
Barbara in Beverly. Barbara.
In veins and an Adam's apple. Just
hi, you guys.
Hi, Barbara.
Hi. Best show on TV. I won't take up much of your time, but I wanted to give you a woman's opinion on Kareem Hunt. I believe he should get a second shot. People change, they go to anger management, they get better, and I really think the guy wants to do it. The other thing is, Kyler Murray is too short for the NFL. They had a thing up on TV yesterday, and he looks shorter than Russell Wilson by like 2 inches.
He's little.
So I don't understand how he can even see above the offensive lineman.
Played big boy football in the Big 12.
Yeah.
Each
but
and
other
every
than
week.
That, I want you guys to know you do teach a lot of things during the day, and I learn a lot. You're
good
my
Barbara.
Favorite show.
Well, we
thank
learned
you,
from you.
So much. Yeah.
Thank you.
I learned from her.
And yes,
she's right.
Oh,
too damn short.
And for some people, the thing with Kareem Hunt is like second chance. Absolutely. The problem I have with Kareem Hunt and the guys like him is that the recidivist rate for these guys is so high. It's like if you've got that in you to be a domestic abuser, it seems like these guys, they tend to do it again.
I thought he was going to end up with like the Jets. Like Cleveland was, an up-and-coming team. You got the young quarterback, you got the new coach, and his old GM goes and brings him into the city where he was and where he committed the act that he committed. It's just...
bad.
It's like in your face.
You want that guy on your team?
Browns fans. Browns fans are all just like, hey, we're back, baby. We're resurrected. In your face. You're Cleveland again.
They give.
Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes from the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, time for today's takeaways brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss, the program that has helped my man Cal Draper of NBC Sports Boston lose 25 pounds. He's still counting. What's stopping you from getting Awaken 180 Weight Loss?
All right, we got a lot to get to here, so let's get to it.
It's a good one.
Okay?
Yeah.
Let's do this.
Let's do it.
Starting with a caller that called us early in the show today, referencing a previous call of his back before Christmas.
How dare he?
Justin in Rehoboth. Justin.
Guy brings up a great point on that last call. Losing Josh Gordon is definitely a blessing in disguise. Like, he negatively impacted the traditional and creative pass offensive game plan. Like, him on the field literally forced defenses to play with, like, common formations that they see across the league with two or three wide receiver sets. You know, it forced Brady to sit in the pocket longer, let plays develop, you know, noticeably distracting him. And we can see that in the accuracy he has now to his check down guys, which used to be his bread and butter. You know, looking at how Deion Lewis and James White impacted that last year's, the last Super Bowl season was like, you know, why would we go away from that? This is definitely a blessing in disguise, and Patriots are going to win the Super Bowl. Let's go.
And let's hope they get the third seed instead of the second, too. Let's do that. I have nothing to add to that call. Do you?
No.
Okay.
So they're very descriptive.
Best thing that could have happened to them.
What a Christmas miracle. I wasn't a Patriot.
I wasn't sure they were going to win the Super Bowl
before this. The process of the regular personnel groupings that's taken them out of their system sets.
I knew they'd get there, but I didn't know if they had what it took to really get over the hump.
Mish.
See right again.
This is Belichick.
Another thing breaks their way.
It's a Belichick testing them. Belichick really knows there are two, but he wants them to go into the 3 and 4 and make them earn it.
What the hell? Now.
So it's just.
Now they
it's
win.
More gratifying when
now
they win
Brady
it all.
Can be Brady again.
Yeah.
it was a curse.
That he
was
in. Hey, might win by 3 touchdowns on Sunday and then win out. Beat the Bills, beat the Jets.
Yep.
I have yet to be convinced, though, this makes them better.
Greg is in Rhode Island. It did make them better.
So that was December 20th. That was Justin Rehoboth in the 117 mark of the show, which our four of us at Warrior, where our brains were frozen.
He called it 117. He got on the air like 140.
Yeah. Oh,
like the clock.
Even worse.
The subsets of what it's back to its regular form and formation.
The guy remembered the day, John.
Justin, take your victory lap, Justin. Good
back,
for you.
Back
you
to
called
the Patriots
it.
Offense and
I don't know. They only scored 13 in the Super Bowl. Josh Gordon is there. They probably put up a couple more touchdowns with the ball a little bit more.
Let's go.
I still think they would have been better.
We've got something from our interview with Sean Grandy today,
ooh.
Correct?
Yeah.
Welcome back to Zolak and Bertrand. We go to the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. This time we welcome in the voice of the Boston Celtics. It's Sean Grandy with us on Zolak and Bertrand. Hi, Sean.
Check the Google machines on this, my friends. But didn't Brian Leach, the great Hall of Fame, Boston College, New York Ranger, didn't he break his ankle slipping on ice? Like away from the, I think there was a Ranger season that was ruined
maybe.
One year. I think he literally slipped on ice away from, like, getting into a cab or something.
There was no ice here.
So I know that. I'm simply saying there
is. Mr. Hockey guy.
For such, well, once upon a time.
Hey, how you doing?
Oh. Uh-huh. Google machines.
You weren't really fully engaged in that Sean Grandy interview today.
Crap. Let's bring in Sean Grandy now.
I don't know about that.
The best questions.
You had like 8 questions in there. I liked it at the end when it was like, all right, Sean.
See Sean. See Sean.
Yeah, see Sean.
See Sean. Have fun at Bell Tour.
See you, Sean. Bye.
Have fun watching dudes rip each other's face off.
Oh, there's that. And then there were.
God.
Our third item today, which was if you heard the news that Sean was referring to, which is the David Pastrnak thumb injury, we got a full rundown from Don Sweeney today. He spoke to the press, and it sounded like it was a police report he was delivering,
right.
like it was sort of a court filing, like he was a prosecutor talking to the judge about what the charges were.
He was seen exiting the car at 4:35 p.m. on Sunday evening.
Well, it's sort of like the people's court.
After the game on Sunday, David and several of his teammates attended a sponsorship dinner. At about 11:30, David reported to me, as he said, he reported to me at about 11:30, as some of his teammates were walking to meet their transportation location. He simply fell and injured his thumb. He met with the medical staff yesterday morning early, and the doctors, they called me, and really it was pretty apparent that he needed to have something done right away. I mean, internal specifics that will keep that way of locations and things that they were doing, so I'm not trying to be vague in that regard, just wanted to be out in front of reporting the facts as they are.
See, now you need Doug Perfect. Llewellyn to come in with his cheesy pun.
Right.
It's like, the Bruins are suing him for being a frail forward.
I was like, take that call. Oh, hey, it's Doc.
He says.
Yeah, we have one of our... One
this
of 22-year-old
Czech professional hockey player fell down on the sidewalk after having one too many brews.
Yeah. The slippery sidewalk caused him to injure his thumb.
Yeah.
And now he can't play hockey.
Blame your sponsors, damn salespeople. Got them all liquored up.
It was a salesperson that went out, got him drunk.
Like Dan Alpert. High five.
Not one of our salespeople.
High five it. Give me some skin. So, here, take a picture. Okay, hold on.
Brad Stevens is going to talk to us tomorrow, and I'm sure we're going to ask him again about Gordon Hayward's minutes.
Yep. Let's practice right now.
I'm sure we're going to ask him about that.
Let's practice.
Ask him already. We'll ask him again.
Let's get him a practice. Let's get Zola a practice right now, quickly.
Brad Stevens with us here on Zolak and Bertrand. Hi, Brad.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, Coach. Excited for the back-to-back. See how the second part of it comes out tonight? How about that? Back-to-back.
It's not bad.
They're going to smoke Philly tonight.
Okay, if you say so. Right. Elgar Maz next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.